opportunity to be able to be in God's house this evening. I trust the Lord bless us to be able to hear a message from Him in some manner and way.
What's on my heart this evening is really the thought that I suppose in a roundabout way that God can give you more than this. And really I hope that's my heart's desire as well, more than what I have tonight. I hope that God will give you more than this. If you will, turn in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I want to read just a verse of Scripture, but really, in this passage, as King Amaziah is the scene here, he had hired, I believe it was Israel, to help Judah in the battle, if my memory is right. And he had hired them to fight against the enemy. And the man of God, the prophet, come to him and told him not to go forth. And I'm going to read, I'm going to go ahead and back up to verse 8. But let's go ahead and back up. Let's come on back to verse 6. It said, "And he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Please join your hearts with me in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes tonight into the hills which cometh our help. Lord, we know that you are able to lift up or you are able to cast down. And Father, we know that you have lifted us time and time again, each of us, in various problems. Lord, we know at times when we have been proud or times when we have needed brought down, we know that you have brought us down. You're able to lift nations up and you're able to bring them down. Lord, we pray that you would help tonight, and that you would lift us each up in heavenly places, that we would be able to feel your presence, to be able to worship you and to praise you and to hear a message from you. Lord, I know whether it be through two fish, you're able to feed a multitude, or whether it be with much, we know that you're able to withhold. So, Lord, please help us tonight. We grant all things or leave all things in your hand. Bless and keep. Have mercy upon each of us and bless according to our needs. We ask in the holy name of Jesus Christ. And amen. What I want to consider this evening, Lord willing, as I said, God's able to give you more than this. You know, that was his concern, is I have paid the price already. Now, talent was not a small amount. You know, a lot of times we look at the parable of the talents, the one and the two and the five talents, and we think about how that one talent servant didn't have much. But that's not at all true. That one talent servant had much. The talent was a large sum of money. And I'm not going to try to state what it is. I'm sure it's a large amount. And that's all we need to understand. He had paid a huge amount of money. And his concern was, I'm going to lose something here. And every one of us in our lives, there are times that this is constantly what the devil reminds you. Say, now you're going to lose. And what I want you to understand this evening, that God can give you much more than any loss that you have in your life. And here in this passage, or I want to go ahead and look at a couple of other passages as well. Let's go ahead and look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, several passages we read and then hopefully bring some of the thoughts together. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 through verse 30. Matthew 19, 28 through 30. See, this has been a thing all the time, the people of God think, you know, I'm going to lose something here. And in following Jesus Christ, that's one thing, and we state it all the time, God was never, he never tricked anybody. He never said one time, if you follow me, that you're not going to lose. In fact, he has stated over and over, if you follow me, now you better get ready, because you're going to lose, you're going to have some loss in your life, unlike what much of the religious world today at times will state, that just come down that aisle and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, it will in the Lord, but I want to tell you that you're going to suffer loss in your life. Number one, whenever you come down the aisle and unite with a body, you're saying, I am dying with Christ. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. Is that we have some loss. You're making a loss. You're saying, I'm going to give up my rights. I'm going to give up my mind. I'm going to give up me and my thoughts, my desire, and yield them unto God. I'm going to yield them to Jesus. I'm going to yield them to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give me up, and I'm going to live. And listen what the apostles had to say here in verse 27 of chapter 19. He said, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And see, that's a question again that people wonder. A lot of times people wonder, what am I going to get out of this? Well, number one, I want you to understand, and I need to understand, you're going to lose. You're going to lose something. That's when you begin serving the Lord, it is talking about losing. But if you're going to win, you got to lose. If you're going to be first, you got to be last. See, this is totally different. If you want to reign, you got to serve. You know, it's totally contrary to our way of thinking. And it's a question that we have all the time. What am I going to gain? Now, you know, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him or serve Him. So now, you know, there is a biblical thought that you know, to know what am I going to get, in a sense, not in a carnal way, but in understanding that as a child of God, we need to understand you're going to lose, but there are some things you're going to gain. It's not all negative. It's not all about losing, but first, you've got to lose. First, you know, and that's true in anything. You know, if you're working out, before you gain strength, you have to lose your time. You have to suffer. You have to give up some of yourself. If you want to lose weight, what do you have to do? You have to deny yourself. You have to put away some of yourself. And then through losing, you gain a healthier body. You gain, you know, that's true in so many aspects. But here in this passage, Peter wanted to know what? Because they forsook it all. They forsook everything. They really had, unlike most of us, they really forsook their nets. They forsook their livelihoods. They forsook all that they had in many, many ways. And here we find in verse 28, And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the tribes of Israel. We're not going to get into that, but it's not necessarily what people would proclaim at times. But here in verse 29 it said, And everyone that has forsaken house, did they forsake house? Yes, they did. He says, Our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And again, see, he's saying now, What am I going to get out of this? What am I going to gain? And Peter was not just speaking in a carnal manner and way. What benefit is there in serving God? Lord, we've forsaken all. Now, they were full of carnality in so many ways as well. But I want to tell you that God has blessings for those that serve Him. But we need to understand, first, you've got to lose. In fact, we can look in a couple of other passages and then hopefully bring some thoughts together. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 35, listen to this as well. Already stated at it. He said we begin in verse 34. Now, I'm going to even back up. And in chapter 8 and verse 32, listen to what Peter said. Peter, and he spake and said, saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, Jesus had just told them that he was going to be crucified. And now Peter took him and rebuked him openly. And this is what Peter, he began to rebuke him. And he turned about and looked on the disciples, and he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." You know what they had to do? They had to lose something first, didn't they? See, Jesus had been with them the whole while. Jesus had walked with them and taught with them, instructed them and taught them. And so now Jesus had begun to instruct them is that you've got to lose me. You've got to be willing to give me up. They said, "Be it far from thee. We'll never let you die." And I want to tell you, at that point in time, Jesus meant it. You know why I know he meant it? Because when they come after him in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know what Peter did? He pulled his sword out and he cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. He meant it. And he was one that was willing to lay down his life for the Lord at that point in time. And brethren, what we find is that he was willing, but brethren, you need to understand that in order to gain, you've got to lose. And God said, Jesus was really telling them, "God, I can give you much more than this," because, you know, he was only there in the flesh with them. But now he said, I'm going to go to the Father in John chapter 14 as well as in John 16. And, you know, I'm going to go to my Father and we're going to send. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter with you that no man can ever take away. Now, Jesus, men could take away if God so allowed. And men were able to crucify him under the will of God. And yet what you have is that now we have the Holy Spirit of God that no man can take from you. But you got to lose. And they had to lose. And to some degree at that point, they didn't want to lose. They wasn't willing to lose. And that's kind of where we are a lot of times in our life. We don't want to lose ourselves. We don't want to lose our ideas. We don't want to lose our own feelings. You know, it's like forgiveness. Do you know what you have to do when you forgive somebody? You lose your right to hold a grudge, so to speak. You're saying, "I'm yielding my rights. You offended me. And I have, in the flesh, I have a right to be mad at you." And what you do, you give your anger up. You give your offense up. You turn it over to the Lord. You say, "I forgive you." You yield yourself. So in order for you to gain, you have to lose it. And that's really what the Christian life in many, many ways is about. It's all about losing. And yet on the same hand as I say that, out of the other side of the mouth, I'm saying it's all about gaining. It's just that you've got to lose in order to gain. Listen to what he says in 34. "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." What is that? Losing yourself. "And take up his cross and follow me." You've got a cross to bear. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." You try to save yourself, you will lose it. You know, it's kind of like somebody, they tell me, I have a lot of fear of water. And when somebody, whenever I'm in the water up to here, waist deep, it's not too bad. If it's chest deep, don't touch me. If it's chest deep, I will panic. If it's chest deep, I will drown you. And what they tell me, you know, a lot of times they have to knock somebody out. If you're going to rescue me, you better go ahead and do it. Knock me on out. Get me out and save me. And that's kind of what he's saying here. is that you have to lose yourself. You have to lose in order to be knocked out, knock the old self out, crucify the old self, die to self. In order to be saved, and I'm not talking about from hell to heaven, I'm talking about in this life, in order to experience deliverance, in order to have life, you've got to die. And this is what he says here, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, we're going to go ahead. I'm just going to mention it in Hebrews chapter 12 and 2. It talks about Christ. You know what he looked at? What he looked at was not the loss. And see, that's our problem. Sometimes we look at the loss, Brother Neil. We talk about we've got to give up some things, Brother David. We've got to change some things. We've got to lose. We've got to give up. I always think about years ago when Brother David was doing little segments on the radio. And when he talked about forgiveness, it was like drinking poison and waiting for the other man to die. You know, you're not going to drink poison and it kills somebody else. Whenever you hate, whatever it is, you got to give up self. You got to just turn it over unto the Lord. And so in our lives, I want to tell you more, you know, you think about hatred. You know, is there some pleasure in hating? If anybody has never had anger, deep-rooted anger and hatred, you don't understand. But there is a little bit of pleasure in having some hate. You know, ooh, I want to feel it. You know, you don't want to turn it loose. You want to get them. You want to hate them. It's a feeling there. But I'm going to tell you, God can give you much more than this. More than any kind of pleasure that might. You know what that kind of pleasure does? That kind of pleasure gives you ulcers. That kind of pleasure gives you pain. That kind of pleasure destroys your life, your friends, your family. But God can give you more than any kind of carnal pleasure. He can give you freedom to where you can love your enemies. He can give you freedom to where you're not worried. He can give you freedom in so, so many ways. Now, we find as well, Hebrews, as I mentioned, Jesus looked at the joy. And what we need to understand is what we need to do tonight is look to the joy, not the suffering. Now, you need to be aware. You will suffer. You have loss. You have trouble. But look for the joy that is beyond your suffering. That's what the Lord did. And he said that we're to consider him, lest we be wearied in our own minds and faint. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you look at just the suffering, if you look at just the trouble, if you look at the hardships, you know, I even think of the children of Israel. Isn't it amazing? They say, oh, remember back there in Egypt, what did we have? We had garlic and leeks and onions. I like onions. I like garlic and leeks to a degree, but especially, you know, the onions and so forth. But I want to tell you tonight, God can give you more than melons and garlic and leeks. And brother, isn't it amazing how they forgot all of the pain, all the suffering, but they remembered a few things that they liked. But God can give you much more than this. God can give you any more than anything you might lose, more than losing your rights, more than losing whatever it might be. God can give you more than that. Now, in this passage as well, in of course, he tells us if you want to live in Mark 8 and 35 that you've got to die. We've done mention that. It ties right in. There's just so many things. You know, I think about the prodigal son. And really, isn't that what that was about? It was about a life of loss. Now, to begin with, that prodigal son went out, didn't he have a lot? He took his inheritance, didn't he? And he went out there, and you know what he'd done to his inheritance? He lost it. And he was out there, and he had all the you know one thing, anything you have in this world, you know what it is, you're going to lose it. Everything you own today, you're going to lose. Now, some people might lose it before they die. Some of you might have stock. It might be gone tomorrow. You know, you just don't know. Retirement might be gone. Stock might be gone. Money could be worthless, useless. Gold could be gone. Somebody can steal whatever you have, too. You know that? You know, you lay up treasures, and people can come and take them. I don't care if it's a chainsaw, a weed eater, or if it's a motorcycle, a boat. Everything you have, it can break or it can steal. But ultimately, you're going to die. You're going to leave it. It's not really yours. And yet, what we find is is that we can have more. Now, out in the world, he carried his inheritance out there. And I want to tell you, he blew it all. And he ended up losing everything he had, and he was eating hog feed, hog slop. And we find that, you know, he said, in my father's house, even the servants, the hired hands, had enough to eat. And I'm sitting here just starving to death, eating hog slop. And what you have is that this young man, he lost it all when he turned his back on God. But when he went back to the Father, when he went back there, was willing to just deny his sonship, deny, just let me serve you. Just let me be a servant of the Lord. You know what he gained? The Father saw him and put a ring on his hand and put shoes on his feet and put a coat upon him. I want to tell you today is that when he humbled himself before God, then he gained it all. And so really that's what it's about. It's a story of loss. And it's a story of gain. You go out in the world with plenty. And what do? You lose it all. But you come back empty-handed to God. And that's where we all are when you come to God, is you're empty-handed. You have nothing. I have nothing to offer God except myself. You come back empty-handed, and you know what you have? You have it all. You know, you have it all. I lost it all in the world. But when you come to God empty-handed, you have it all. All that you need. Jesus Christ is all that you need. And brethren, tonight, that's really what it's about, is that God can give you much more than this. Whatever your problem, whatever your situation, is that you trust in God. God can give you more than you lost. God can give you more than your trouble. God can give you more. You might say, yeah, but I've done paid it. You know, a lot of times, I won't ever forget, even in a carnal way of stating, one time I was with a lady and her son and some others. I went there, a church member, while I was at Mount Nebo, and they wanted to quit drinking. And I went there and I began to pour the whiskey out. And they said, what are you doing? I said, you want to quit drinking, right? Yeah, but not now. I done paid for it. I bought it. And it was going down, and they were trying to get it in a cup, trying to drink it. But I want to tell you, God can give you more than the whiskeys of this world, anything that you might pour out. They say, yeah, but that was good money. But God can give you more. What is it tonight that you're losing? What is it tonight that you need to lose? I'm going to tell you again, God can give you more than this. God can give you more than the pride that you have. God can give you more than the pleasures of the anger that you have. God can give you more if you and I will only trust in Him and submit ourselves to Him. That's really all I have. Is that God can give you more than this. God bless you and me to trust in Him and to know that God, He owns it all, and He can give you more than any loss you have. Look at the joy that is set before you, and I've just got to mention this. Don't He give us more in the kingdom? He can even give you more naturally. I've heard story after story. I've experienced times when you would lose because of your faithfulness. And yet I've seen how God, even in natural ways, physical ways, would bless people physically, financially, whenever they would lose things for the Lord. But more than that, He'll give you the Holy Spirit of God. He'll give you the true riches. Because really, these natural blessings that we have, these physical blessings, none of these blessings, you know, are worthy. What does he say? That all that we suffer now are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I want to tell you, that's not even talking about heaven hereafter. I don't believe that's talking about the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And it's certainly true hereafter. So brethren, God can give you more than anything of your loss. Just keep that in your mind. Let it stick in your heart that any of your loss, that God can give you more than this. God bless you and me to trust in Him, because that's really what it's all about. You know, it's like vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know what we want to do sometime? Get even. And yet when you get even, I've heard people, I've listened to testimony when someone would kill their family. Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe in capital punishment. I believe it ought to be carried out, not by individuals, but by the law. But you know what? If all of your desire is looking for somebody to die, to get even, you'll never find any peace. But when you submit things to God, you know what you have? You have peace. He can give you more than that. He can give you more than the anger. He can give you more than the pain. He can give you more than anything you lose. God bless you. For Christ's sake is my prayer. Brother Billy.
Yeah. Well, as we stand, as we sing number 338, we love God and desire to serve God with the church, knowing that the Lord can give you more than this. Let your desire be known as we sing. 338.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me.
No, you're not too old to get up. Get your butt up. Striving.
I gotta go.